AM 760 KFMV presents Auto Talk with host Brian Bowerson. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian right now, 1-800-760-KFMB.
All right, good morning, folks, and welcome to Auto Talk Radio this morning. I have a special guest with me today.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Long time no see, man.
You got a tranny shop on Miramar Road?
Not a tranny shop, the West Miramar Automotive and Transmission. We do transmission.
When did you open that one?
That was April 1st.
Well, you didn't tell me. All I knew about is the one in El Cajon and Kearney Mesa and Escondido.
Well, it's been a few weeks since we've had coffee with Dave and Brian. Usually I see you on Friday mornings, You know, you swing by, but you're trying to hide the cars you're driving from me now.
Why, you don't like my Rolls Royce Cullinan?
No, you just don't want me driving them. That's why you sneak in and out.
True. You've taken cars away from me like a dad taking a car away from a little boy, and it was gone for quite some time.
I always tell that it wasn't an EV1 back in the day?
You were.
The one from GM. Man, that car would get it. That was like one of the first electric cars.
It was. And you lit her up, and down the road you went.
Unfortunately, that car, the battery seemed to drain quickly when you did that to it.
Well, if you remember correctly, I lived in Oceanside, and I had to come to KFMB to do a radio show, and then I was coming to work, because I worked for you in the Escondido store.
But back in the day, we'd have to say.
Well, I didn't really understand how to manage a car, and so I ended up calling you from Costco.
You had to stop and charge the car.
Stop and charge up for 2 hours. Drove me crazy, but you know, once I figured that car out, I'm telling you, if it fits, and if it fits within your lifestyle, I'm telling you can't beat an electric vehicle.
Well, and let's face it, from the when are we talking? That was 1998. So we've come a long way with
I just had the Golf E. I just had the, and that didn't have the range. I only had 120 mile range.
Really?
But where I live in Alpine, and I work at KUSI, take that out. I was able to go to and from and still had 60-mile range left.
Correct.
So,
Okay,
that car would work for me. Do I need a Tesla to pay twice the amount? Probably not, but there are other EVs out there. I had the Nissan Leaf.
Correct.
200.
Those go a long way.
226 miles.
Well, and today's show is really about car buying mistakes or car buying, but regardless, I mean, these hybrids are great to talk about, or electric cars, both of them, and where they fit in, because this may be something you need to check out if you're buying a car, right?
Well,
so
I was interviewed a company yesterday, and they specialize in finding millennials that are buying electric and hybrids, and the market's off the chart. They don't want to buy new, but they're screaming to buy used.
Exactly.
How do you buy a used electric vehicle?
Have it checked out.
Well, yeah. Who really can check it out thorough enough to give you the confidence? Now, I know West Escondido can do it, but there's a lot of shops out there that...
Yeah, the whole West Automotive Group we do with those, and I've sent guys to school already for them. So, but good. I'll tell you a little Tesla story.
Okay,
so,
I got Tesla.
No, I'm sure you do, but this is a great story because, as you know, I do a lot of enduro riding. I'm motorcycles riding. So last year we were doing the Oregon coast, and some good friends of mine live in Reno, John and his other buddy that rides with us. They decided, his buddy has one of the Tesla SUVs. I can't remember
the SUV, that's the X.
Yeah, that one.
With the gullwing doors.
Yep. And they decide they're going to hook the motorcycle trailer to it, and they're going to drive it from Reno to all the way up to Oregon Coast. And he's got plotted out where he can stop and charge it. No, you know, there's a lot of charging stations along the way, without question, right?
Allows that.
So good stuff. the funny thing that John usually drives a truck like I do. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about it once they get there, and John says, yeah, I don't think I'd do this again with him. And I'm all, why? He says, well, you know how we travel, because me and John have been on a lot of rides together. He says, you know, you pull in your truck, you gas up, you might grab something to eat, you jump back in the truck, you eat, you drive, you go. He's all, every time you got to stop to charge this thing up, it's an hour and 10 minutes of dinner. He's all, I ate dinner like 9 times, man. He's all, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I can't find enough to do for an hour every time you got to stop. So those cars, my point to that is, I won't knock them, because they have great principle for things like if you're a commuter in San Diego or you're even driving to LA and back. I mean, they got quite the range, right?
Yeah,
if you're doing all that stuff, what a great concept.
Absolutely.
But it's not a cross-country car.
No.
There's no way. Unless you have more time than anybody in the world.
And you better have a home charger.
Yeah.
You cannot rely on 110. 110,
no.
Most of the cars are 30, 60, 70, 80 hours to charge up.
Charge
on
fully. Correct, yeah.
So, but, you know.
And it was funny. Every hotel we went to, he ran an extension cord out and plugged the car in. But we were motorcycle riding. So, I mean, the car would sit for like 14 hours or more before we'd switch hotels. So it would charge up and then off he'd go.
Exactly. But you bring up a good point, you know, because the used car market is bigger and stronger now than it's ever been. You know, because people don't want to spend $35,000, $40,000 for a car. So they're looking at that used car market. But the problem is consumers don't think. You mentioned off air that you have people who come in and bought a couple of cars from you, didn't even drive them.
Yeah, and when I prime example of that, my last car I sold was a Toyota 4Runner. And I end up with a lot of cars, obviously. A lot of them, I just sell it for junk. I sell it to car buyers and get rid of them. They're not worth fixing or whatever. People leave them behind.
Can't flip them.
Well, they got a blown up motor and the car's not worth anything. Something like this 4Runner had a trans issue and needed a timing belt water pump. Fix it all. You know, those are great cars. Fix it all up. I did I go through them. So we did the brakes, all that.
Sure.
Car's all ready to go. This guy did drive and everything with me and stuff like that. And he bought it for his daughter. And then later, he sent me pictures of the back of the bus where I'm on, you know, with. And he saw, my daughter loves her trucks. Thank you so much. They bought it for her birthday. But my point is, boy, you can end up buying a car that you buy a bucket load of trouble, right?
Well,
if it's used.
Let me give you a story. So
I love these stories. You know that.
The lady I bank with, she has a son and his first vehicle, and the neighbor across the street had an Isuzu Trooper. I'll give it to you.
That sound, yeah.
And he gave it.
No thanks.
2 weeks later, he had to put a motor in it. He didn't buy.
He should have stopped there.
I said, did you check it out? Did you? Well, he gave it to me for no, you're not listening. Did you check it out?
The rest of the vehicle.
The rest of the vehicle.
Yeah, before you even put a motor in it.
Well, I thought that, you know, it would be, was my neighbor. Well, so now they're...
But the neighbor, in defense of them, they gave you this car. So really, I mean, you need surely do your due diligence. I would have drove for the 2 weeks and then sold it for scrap after the motor blew up. That's what I would have done.
So $5,200 later...
And that's cheap. So it must have been a good used motor or something put in it. Yep.
I says, oh, you got it? She says, oh, yeah, I got a new motor. And you know, the whole thing only
cost
me about $5,000.
It's new to the car.
I go, where did you find an engine for an Isuzu Trooper?
Yeah, because you're not going to find a factory one.
Oh, it was a wrecking yard. Oh, I didn't realize
new to the car, Dave.
I know. But folks, if you don't listen to anything else we say today, if you're buying a used vehicle for more than $10, you need to take it in, get it inspected.
Or before doing major repairs, something that's given to you, take it in, get the rest of the vehicle inspected, know what's going on with it. So one of the big things, and some of this goes for new cars too, about here. So the number one thing that they talk about is falling in love with a model of a vehicle.
Oh, Lord.
Lord. Just because you know, and the other thing that I tell folks is really important. Let's say it's a new model you want to buy. Let's not say you're not even buying a used car.
Right.
We'll get back into that for sure. But let's say it's a new model you want to buy, and you just want – the best thing you could do is go to a rental car place and rent one of these vehicles.
For the weekend.
Hey, I was just ran out to the desert this weekend, and I drove a Range Rover Sport, the little one. I couldn't own one of those vehicles. Great vehicle, drove great, except for the seat doesn't go back far enough, and my knee rubs on the center console.
Oh, shit.
And I
ate that.
And I was like, yeah, I couldn't drive this a long distance.
That's one of my pet peeves, and more manufacturers make this hard plastic rib.
It's exactly what it was.
It gets you right in the knee.
And that would be fine if the seat went far enough back and my legs could be straight, and they can't. I'm only 6 foot tall, so if you're taller than me, you know, more. My legs were bent, so my right knee is resting right on there, and it's rubbing right on the top. And I realized on the drive out about an hour in, I was like,
ow.
This is uncomfortable.
I know.
So then you have to be conscientious to try to not let your leg rest on there because it's not straight.
And what did you spend to rent the car?
Oh, well. The car's $350 a day if you actually rented it.
But my point is, for $350, what a fantastic investment versus going down and buying that vehicle and finding out.
Without question. And sometimes you can get some deals, weekend deals. So, and that's what I got because we rent a lot of cars from this car rental place.
But my point is to the consumer, you're only talking a couple hundred bucks. For peace of mind.
Correct.
You know, because you know, especially with
even if it was $350 a day, Dave, you're right. You're on the right track here, because if it's $350 a day, it's way better than spending $55,000 on
and
a new one
just
because you like the car the way it looks or something like that. So that's the point. Right. Don't fall in love with anything until you truly spend some time with it. And the best way to do that is usually you can go out, find one, and rent it somewhere.
That's right.
And drive it around for at least a day. Spend at least 24 hours with the car. Because the other thing that comes with that, not only those little things, but blind spots. You know, and you've driven way more new cars than I have. Dave spends a lot of time driving new cars for manufacturers, without question. Then you report on them and stuff like that. That's one of the big things Dave does do. So you get to drive a lot of new cars, like that Aston Martin DB11 I saw you driving. Folks, you probably can't rent one of those. I'm going to be honest with you.
Acura NSX, that was awesome.
Can't rent one of those either, I don't think, anywhere that I know of.
But maybe. You're right. And I tell people all the time, you know, for example, the new Jeep Gladiator. Everybody and their mother wants that Jeep Gladiator. They just have to have it. I says, well,
have you driven it?
And nobody has driven it.
They like it because they fall in love with the way it looks.
That's right.
That's exactly what we're talking about. So do yourself a favor. Most vehicles, like, you could find a Jeep Gladiator to rent for sure. Yeah. Most vehicles you can, without question, unless you're doing something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got the money to buy a DB11, then you should just buy one.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You could sell it again if you don't want it.
You will not be disappointed.
You will not be disappointed in that car. And the seat does go back far enough in that car, too. So, but other cars, you're right. Hey, get out there and drive it. Don't make the mistake of falling in love with a car, just buying it because you like the way it looks.
Right.
That's a terrible way to do it, even on new cars.
Okay, I got time for one more story?
Okay, we got plenty of time for stories. Go for it.
So I'm working at a Dodge store up in Carlsbad.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, and I have this rule, if you, as a service manager, if you're my writer and you write the guy up, yada, 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 and goes out. But if it comes back, it comes to me. Because I don't need you arguing with my customer. That's my job.
We're there to take care of people.
You need to take care of my customer.
Correct.
So I get the guy in, and he says, I just bought a brand new Dodge 3500, and it rides terrible.
Huh.
He says, I've driven lots of trucks. I have a construction company. I've never had a truck
do this. Something's up with this truck, he's saying.
I says, well, let's go for a ride. So we get out on the 5. And we're going down the road.
So you agreed with him, apparently.
I go, duh. And then I says, but let me show you something. And I pulled off on the asphalt apron, doing 70.
Mm-hmm.
Smooth ride.
It's the road.
He goes, you see, this is the way it should ride. I said, you need to call the governor, dude. I says, let me ask you this. Where did you road test this truck when you bought it? And he kind of looked at me sheepishly. He says, well, I didn't. I go, you didn't. I seen the commercial and fell flat in love with it. And I came down and I bought the truck. Can't you put soft shocks on it? No.
Well, no, suspension doesn't matter. It's not going to do that.
Throw 10 bags of cement in the back and you'll be golden.
There you go. You can do that.
He spent a lot of money for that truck.
Well, expensive truck.
And he's an owner.
But prime example, that's like going down the 10 freeway. It does. So the roads. But for the most part, most roads won't do that.
No.
So, but that's a great story because the point to that is road test the vehicle you want to buy.
What if it doesn't fit in your garage after you buy it?
That's a good question. Measure the vehicle you're going to buy, too.
Yeah, I got to tell you, folks, dealerships want to sell cars so bad right now. You want to take it overnight? They'll do a borrow car agreement. You should be show proof of insurance. Take it and stuff it in the garage and see if it fits.
See
drive
if
it at night. Maybe
see if
you don't
it
like it at
fits
night.
Fits everything you like. See if it's got blind spots. See if the lights work well for you. See if you're comfortable in the car. Does your knee rub the center console? Keep in mind, you're going to be driving. If you spend that kind of money on this car and you're smart, you're going to be driving it for a long time. So
exactly. But, you know, this is a personal choice. I always believe in leasing, especially a brand new car that you've never had before. Lease it's only a couple hundred dollars a month, maybe three. At the end of that 3-year lease or 2-year lease, if you absolutely madly fall in love with it, well, then just refinance residual and you're
either that or get the next new model of the same thing. Yeah, if nothing's changed inside.
When you say lease to people, it's like, you're not selling me any drugs.
And it depends. Leasing works out really well, especially if you're in a situation where you can write the car off too.
Absolutely,
that works out really well. So for some folks,
but that's not as difficult as you think.
No, it's not. It's not. wrap it with something. Yeah, there you go. So falling in love with a model and skipping the test drive, those were our first two, and we pretty much covered those without question, because two things you don't want to do. You need to know this car if you're going to buy it, right?
Right.
This one you'll love because this has to do with new cars. Negotiating down the sticker price. Don't use the sticker price as your gauge when negotiating a deal.
No.
Dave knows a lot about car dealers and stuff like that, even more than I do. A salesperson may offer you a deal that's, say, $500 below the sticker price, and many consumers will conclude, often mistakenly, that they're getting a good deal. Unless the vehicle is in big demand and short supply, you can often get an even lower price by negotiating up from what the dealer paid for the vehicle, right?
Absolutely, because they're making money on the back end from the manufacturer.
Well, on volume sales, that's actually, so folks, one of the things, I'm sure everybody knows this, but everybody should know this. Truly, dealers make their money on new car sales by moving volumes of cars, because then the manufacturer incentive checks come out. Are they quarterly or yearly for them?
I think they're quarterly.
Quarterly for them. Sure. So the true money they make off of selling new cars is not selling the car to you.
No.
There's very little money they tend to make on that. They make the volume incentive by how many cars they move per quarter.
That's right.
Then the manufacturer writes them a check for moving those cars, right?
That's why when you go take your car to the dealer and all of a sudden you're waiting in the waiting room because, say, you're just getting an oil change, the car's 2 years old and six sales.
Why would you go to the dealer?
Well, I know, but they do. But, you know,
that's the people that just bought a new car that get the free oil change. Right. I got you, Dave.
And then the six salesmen come running in and saying, hey, you want to trade your car in? Well, why do I? Oh, we'll make you a screaming deal. We'll do this. And I've had people actually call me and say, I think they're trying to rip me off. They're trying to get my car. I don't understand. I go, no, 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 no. They want that car because you've been using the dealership, so they know it's been serviced. They want to take it in because now they got a cream of a crop used car.
That's where they make their money.
And they sell you into another one.
They sell you in another one, but also reselling that car, they make money on used cars.
So it's a double dip for the dealer, and you end up, 9 times out of 10, your payments are the same. They're just a lot longer. You're in a different vehicle. You just got to be careful.
And the other thing is, know the price and what value the car is you should be buying. And I'll tell you why. I don't know if you worked for me when there was a time, and they'll remain unmentioned in the name. There was a time at the Escondido location, we were prepping a lot of used cars for a big dealer that was up in Escondido. They're not around anymore, but we were prepping a lot of used cars for a big dealer. What I come to find out, and they would fix everything up on, they'd buy them at auction sometimes, we'd fix everything up, they'd put them on the line, and they'd sell. These guys were selling 40, 50 cars a weekend, remember, back in the day.
Yeah,
so we were helping them out with a lot of cars. We'd do the repairs on and get them all up stuff. What I come to find out was sometimes these cars would go on the line used for more money than they sold for new.
Oh, yeah.
And people were buying them for more money than they sold for new. And I was all, boy, did I just learn something about car sales that I never knew whatsoever. So please, and I'm not saying it's that way everywhere. I don't know that. But I'm telling you, do your due diligence when you're looking for a used car, too. It's very important. And that's when we also we'll get into ways that you need to have the vehicle inspected. And one of the things that we do at the West Automotive Group, and this is used cars. New cars, you get a warranty.
Right.
You're good. Don't worry about it. And you have the lemon law protects you and all that stuff.
Right.
But used cars, especially used cars that are not certified used cars, because usually the certified ones come with a warranty too.
Yeah.
But you need to, and we do the AAA pre-purchase inspection at the West Automotive Group. And we'll get more in depth to that for sure today as we're going through the show. But just remember, you need to have a trained set of eyes on a vehicle if it doesn't come with a warranty and it's used. And I don't care if it's private party or you're buying it from a dealer. If it's not certified used, then you need to get it checked. And let me tell you, we find a lot of things. And I've had clients that have been with us for years that bring cars, sometimes 2, 3, 4 cars before they find one. But you know, the money spent, it's like $90 to do a pre-purchase inspection on a regular vehicle.
Oh, you're cheap.
Well, that's AAA's $89.95 for their members. So we extend the membership price to all of our clients.
It's easier math. Too.
It's easier. And you know what the whole deal is? We'd rather our clients, you know, for that get a quality car. They're going to be bringing it to us for service anyway, so that's what's important. Oh,
especially when you say, you know, there's a little frame damage here, somebody's done some welding, and you show it to them, they look at you like, oh, gosh.
Well, they never know.
No, and they say, thank you so much.
I'm telling you, I've walked around the outside of some cars, and I'm all, this is a beautiful car. You put it in the air, and I'm all, what happened to this thing? You do, and we had a little discussion about this. There are sometimes cars that are totaled.
Mm-hmm.
That are repaired off the grid,
mm-hmm.
and they're not as safe as people think they are. And that's when we start to see the frame stuff or things like you may remember back in the day, there was a family that had bought a vehicle up in Ramona and the airbags had never been put back in it. And they're tragically, their son was killed in a car crash and the airbags didn't deploy. And they said if they would have possibly, well, that car was repaired off the grid by somebody and somebody sold it. And there was a big lawsuit that came out of it because of the loss of life of their son. And unfortunate. Tragic. And I feel as a parent, I understand exactly where they're coming from.
Yeah.
They were sold something that they weren't made aware of. So, and I'm not going to say that happens all the time, but one thing that we do also see is things such as like down in Texas, all the flood cars, flood vehicles, man. And we'll start looking at a vehicle and all of a sudden you start realizing you see all the sediment or where we can usually see where a car's been underwater and we're all, oh, this is not good. Even if that car's running properly at the time, you and I both know there's problems coming down the way.
Well, and a lot of people think that, and this has happened, the insurance company got into it, the Insurance Institute, and they said, okay, we understand any car that gets flooded, they're going to go to a lot, we're going to take all the VIN numbers down, and we're going to salvage them.
Okay. They're trying.
Well, and that's what they said. But the problem is, so I go and I buy 10 cars out of that salvage lot, I bring them to California and re-register them. Guess what?
There's no record.
There's no record.
Yeah, there's not a national database. No. That's the problem stuff like
so
that.
So you see a 2018 Cadillac Escalade for $5,000, run like a rat.
Run the other way.
Run like a rat.
Run as fast as you can.
The day of the deal is truly gone, my friend.
Yeah, there's something wrong. And let's face it, we're talking thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars as the electronics start to fail on that vehicle in short order. They do not like water.
No.
They don't like water at all. And the other thing that happens with them is moisture gets into the wiring looms and they start to corrode inside the loom. You can't even see it. Yeah. And then you start getting all these ghost electronic problems because we have voltage drops and high resistance and everything else.
How much does
the
harness cost?
A lot more than you ever want to pay, I can tell you that.
The vehicle is worth just about with labor.
No lie. All right, folks, we appreciate you joining us here this morning on Auto Talk Radio with my guest Dave Stahl, myself, Brian Bowersock, as we're talking about car buying mistakes and all kinds of things that come with new cars and stuff like that. And we're talking about a little bit about hybrids and EVs and everything else. So please stay tuned. We will be right back after this bottom of the hour message. All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. In the house with me is my guest, Mr. Dave Stahl.
How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Oh, love it, love it, love it.
It's been a while since we got to get together and do some radio together.
Well, anytime we can educate the masses, that's the joy of the show.
It is, and helping my clients and everybody else out there. And there's a lot of people, you know, especially with all our podcast stuff. I got a lady that emailed me the other day out of Chicago.
Oh.
And she says, hey, I'm not a customer of yours. Obviously, I'm not going to be. I'm in Chicago. But can you answer these questions? Brian, I can't even remember what a question. It was pretty easy. So I was like, hey, you know what? Let me give you some advice. By the way, I have some friends that own shops up in Cook County there in Chicago because I sit on the National Auto Care board with them. I said, so go see these guys, and they can surely help you out.
Sure.
You know? So good stuff. The thing is, been in a business,
too long.
28 years now. I've been in it 28 years.
I've been in it
as far as the West Automotive, West Escondido. And before that, I was in it for 4 years, you know. But what? How long have you been in the automotive business, Dave?
Gosh, I started in 1978.
As my dad would say, back in the day.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
Started as a service advisor. Didn't really know what the industry was about. Never went to the dealer. I did all my own work, so I didn't want to go to the dealer. Became a service advisor, then became a manager, and then started realizing that taking care of customers from an automotive point of view, because they really didn't know anything about the cars. Today, it's 10 times worse than it was back in the 70s and 80s. And I just been doing it for 30 years. And like I said, radio for almost 30. And
good stuff.
Yeah, just, well, you know how much you enjoy this industry.
I know. Shoot, we've been friends. When did I meet? Was 1996?
At least, yeah.
1996.
And I got recommended by Bob Cooper.
Oh, yeah, my good friend Bob Cooper.
I was on another radio station, and I was talking, and some clown, or very nice
person,
called in and says, you don't know anything about the independents. You've only worked for the dealers, so I don't know what you're talking about. I said, okay, you're right. And I quit my job, and I talked to Bob, and Bob said, go work for Brian if you want to get the right way to do it. Go work for Brian Bowersock, and That and the rest is
we
history.
Did. We worked together for a few years.
Great times.
Great times.
And
no
your
lie.
Son, by the way, nice job on Facebook acknowledging Kevin.
Oh, Kevin did that show. Yeah. Kevin's actually going to do some more shows with me, too. He's kind of all into it now. He's all, I'll come down. And you know what? It was my fault that I didn't invite him more. But the reason why is I was like, he's not going
to
come down here
early
in the morning.
He didn't want to do it back in the day.
No, not now.
He had too much other stuff going on, but now he's
older. He likes it now. But him and my dad, we had a great time. You're right, when they joined
me. And I just had to give you an attaboy on that. That was awesome.
Well, thanks.
Because he definitely deserved it. Anybody knows Transmissions, it's Kevin.
And when you worked for me back in the day, Zach was a little feller. Well, Zach's 26 now, my son. So
I don't want to hear that. I know. I see him like, oh.
It's all good. Well, hey, as we get going here, we are talking about things you should know before you car buying mistakes, or things before you buy a car to prevent you from making mistakes is what we're here trying to do. But I do want to remind folks, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission up at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido. AAA approved and STAR certified for smog, taking care of folks. Up in the North County now, rolling up over 27 years here. Mm-hmm. So quite a while. I've become old, Dave.
Yes, you have.
Thanks, Dave. West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission, 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon. AAA approved and smog certified out there. Taking care of folks in East County now for over 5 years. West Kearney Mesa Automotive Transmission, right around the corner from the station here, 8027 Balboa Avenue. AAA approved and smog certified. Taking care of folks over here in Central San Diego for over 2 years. And our most recent add-in, which was Miramar 76 Service Center and Transmissions, we brought Dan on board with us, renamed it and branded it to West Miramar Automotive and Transmission. Miramar Road and Eastgate Mall, AAA approved and STAR certified smog over there, taking care of folks. Well, Dan's been over there 30 years, so we blended in, but we just recently took over April 1st with him and blended together, so we're taking care of folks over there in the Golden Triangle, as we call it.
Yeah.
All of the West Automotive Group employees come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason, and that is they all truly believe in the same philosophy. We never put money ahead of people.
You forgot something really, really important.
What
all those locations have ASC certified and Master Techs.
They're all Master Techs, yep.
And folks, you can't have anybody work on your car if they're not ASC or Master Tech.
You shouldn't. You can, but you shouldn't. You can do whatever you want.
We call throwing parts at a problem.
You need
people that understand the vehicle. And when you go to, you're picking a shop, and this is the easiest way to do it, is go to the West Automotive Group, look for the ASC sign, and ask if there's Master Techs. Because the last thing you want to hear is, well, I guess you better take it to the dealer. We can't figure it out.
That, or the other thing that I see, and I had a conversation with a lady the other day, and good point. One of the things, number one, we only hire certified technicians in the complete West Automotive Group. But number two is the quality of parts that we use.
Mm-hmm.
OEM, stop
parts.
Our minimum warranty is 2 years, 24,000 miles.
Right.
So we want to take care of you, give you the best repair at the best price we can. That's not the cheapest, though, always, because if you look around, I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of places that are not giving warranties, using offshore parts, don't carry workman's comp, don't take care of their employees. We're all about taking care of our clients and our employees and everybody else, give you the best repair, long warranties nationwide, best quality for the best buck.
Don't you love when somebody puts on a repair order, all warranties must be done at this facility within a 50-mile radius? Really? Doesn't this look like a military town to you? What if I go to Tupelo, Mississippi?
Well, they don't give a warranty.
And with your transmissions, I think you still belong to ATRA.
Not only that, but all of our transmissions, almost all of them come with 300,000-mile warranty on them nationwide.
Yeah.
Same thing, everything's nationwide.
If it's not nationwide, folks, and if you got to pay a couple more bucks for it, it's better to pay it up front than on the tail.
You want to know about the quality of the West Automotive Group, something that you should know? Hmm. You know how many warranties I do nationwide regularly? Very few.
I was going to say, probably not very many.
I think maybe once or twice a year I get an issue with something, a parts failed or something,
like
a water pump, something like that, and it all gets handled like that. They call, we send them to someplace, get it handled, back on the road and done.
And the customer doesn't pay first and then
No. It's all done between us and who we refer them to and handling it, make sure it's done. You're back on the road. We deal with the problem. We go from there. We deal with the part manufacturer because – But one of the things, reasons why we don't have a bunch of warranties is we buy quality parts, OEM quality parts. So
I got a good slogan for you.
What is it?
Nordstrom Service just not the price.
There you go.
You can have that.
Thank you.
Don't say I never gave you that.
I'm going to put it right there next to our one that we use. We never put money ahead of people, yeah. Which is the same kind of thing.
But the same thing. Nordstrom service, just not the price. And there that's what people are looking for. Everybody, wouldn't you like Nordstrom service? I know I would.
I'll be honest with you. One of the things that I always tell my employees, and I don't mention this outside a lot, but I always tell my employees is treat people the way you want to be treated.
Exactly.
If you do that, I always ask them, like, if something's going a little awry, I'm all, is that the way you'd want to be treated? If not, that's not what we're going to do. Let's not do that. That's the most important thing to me when helping folks. Absolutely. It is for sure. There also, the other thing, we do a lot of things to help out folks. We do have several different, arms of 6 months no interest financing for vehicle repairs and service. Sometimes, you can be in a spot where you're tough, and you can continue to use that card with us. So
yeah, it doesn't sit in the back lot.
Nope. So the best way to do it.
Room.
No, I don't have the room. We service a lot of cars, that's for sure. So, or take advantage of our CertiCare transmission diagnosis. You think you got a transmission problem? Get in to see us. Our initial CertiCare transmission diagnosis and inspection, we don't charge anything for it. It's no charge. The reason for that is we see so many vehicles that don't have a transmission problem. So from there, we can recommend to you what we need to do. But everything's done in-house. Unlike other facilities, you go to a transmission place, they don't do it. They recommend you someplace else.
Right.
Since we have all master technicians, we have specific technicians that are certified in transmissions. If it's not a transmission problem, it goes right over to the next tech, and boom, off we go, So from there.
And don't listen to these commercials that says if your check engine light's on, just bring it to us, and we'll diagnose it. No. These cars are too complicated.
Well, first off, they don't diagnose it. We all know. They just scan the vehicle,
and a scanner
give you the code.
Is a waste of money.
And then recommend to throw parts at the car or then try to sell you diagnosis. Okay. One of the two. So any quality facility and quality technician, the money you spend on diagnosis is the most important part of the repair.
That's right.
Mr. Jim Spiley used to say that to me all the time. And he truly got and understood it. I'm telling you now, I'd way rather spend the money on the diagnosis because with a master tech diagnosing vehicle property, then usually it's a one-point repair. Mm-hmm. You know how many vehicles we see that somebody tried to repair or some other shop tried to repair? The people are just throwing parts of the car. They come in like, I spent $600 on this car already and it's not fixed. Well, the diagnosis and the repair were way less than that if you would have just started
done it
there.
Right the first time.
Do it right the first time.
And nine times out of ten, if the shop has any reputable creds at all, if you decide to do the work, the diagnosis, portion of it or all of it goes towards the bill. It's not like you're getting double tapped, because a lot of times by the time you figure out what's wrong with it, the only thing left is R&R.
Correct. So there's labor on top of that. The way we tend to do it is, as far as that goes, is the diagnosis on the vehicle is the time spent to do that part without question. And there's a reason for that. A lot of shops will hide the diagnosis afterwards in there and make it part of I don't want to hide anything from anybody. And that's never been my philosophy. So on some things like transmission, part of the diagnosis will be we drop the pan. If we're doing a transmission, then it ends up being internal. Then that labor goes towards it. You're right.
That's
things
what
like
I'm talking
that.
About. Because a lot of and why are we doing this, folks? Because back in the day, it was not uncommon. The brother would take the car to the dealer and say, what's wrong with it? And the dealer would look at it and say, okay, well, you need a water pump. Okay, thanks, and leave. Go buy a water pump and put it on. And then the tech at the dealer said, well, wait a minute. I diagnosed.
And what about all my knowledge?
All my knowledge.
And that was easy back then compared
today.
To now. Yeah. So the time spent, my techs will often spend well over an hour when we have an electronic problem diagnosing and pen testing. So. And guess what? These guys are great at what they do. So they get to a pinpoint test to the finish to say this component's bad.
Right.
We repair that component for you and you're down the road, the car's fixed. It's money well spent without question versus throwing a bunch of parts at the vehicle like we were talking about and you way overspend. Or us saying, we'll include the diagnosis in, but the price is this much higher.
Right.
When you do it. We don't hide. It's not a shell game for us.
No, you can't.
And
you don't know when you throw parts at a problem what fixed it.
Correct.
You don't know. So, and you don't know if it's fixed.
Correct.
Until you're driving down the road and, didn't you have a Pantera? I have to tell you this cute story.
No. I had a Lotus Generation 1 Lotus Esprit.
Buddy of mine, he brings it in for a segment. He went to back up and the wheel just spun.
Huh.
The coupler came apart.
Ooh.
when he idled and rolled in. Just imagine on the freeway.
That's some scary stuff. All right, folks. We got more stories, and we're going to be right back after we take this bottom of the hour. Oh, wait, not bottom of the hour. We all passed. I'm having so much fun talking to you, Dave. It's been a long time that I forgot where we're at. We're going to take our last break here, and we'll be right back after these messages. This is Auto Talk Radio on 760 KFMB. All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. Dave Stahl's in the house with me today.
How you doing, bud?
I'm still doing good.
Yeah. You're looking good.
Great. Well, thank you.
Yeah,
you too.
All buff and everything. Well, I just think about it.
I try to stay healthy, man, and I eat good. So
that's right, you do.
I'm working on this longevity thing these days.
I know.
You know, I don't eat pizza anymore.
Really?
Remember those days we used to order those really big pizzas at the shop, and like you eat until you're like in a food coma.
Dude, you had an appetite that would. Well, that's.
I was on the go, man.
Well, yeah, you work. You know, your tail off.
Back then, I was working 6 or 7 days a week, and usually 12 to 14 hours a day. So.
And you were when you were in the Navy, you actually worked on vehicles. That's how you got into this crazy industry.
Well, So actually, I started. I went to high school in Ohio, to a vocational high school, and I was in an automotive program there.
Right.
Then I joined the Navy and worked
for vehicles. Vocational in a school?
I know.
Auto shop?
Dude, we had
I know what those are.
We had a 14-bay shop, man. They still have it. They still have it. Yeah. Well, yeah, you know. No,
back
I mean,
in the day.
Oh, did they have some here in California back
then?
Yeah,
back in the day.
Those have long been gone now, though.
Yeah, I know.
Long been gone, unfortunately. So working on some programs, though. There's some good college stuff going on around here. As far as I know...
Well, Cuyamaca.
Cuyamaca, that's one I was
talking about. Cuyamaca, Palomar, and Miramar all got really good
I have
programs.
To ask you a question. Maybe you know about this more than I do. I saw something about the Cuyamaca program where they were doing for Independence has kind of fallen off now or something.
Well,
Brad was handling that. Is he gone now? Or?
Well, when Jim Cousteau retired,
uh-huh.
The program shifted.
Okay.
Okay, and that's they lost some of the factory support that they used to have. So... Yeah, so they're in a
limbo kind of transition area. Okay, well, hopefully it works out because we need definitely trades are a good thing to get into these days. And
what do you need more than anything? Technicians.
Yeah, well, because the age of our technicians,
they're getting old, and 40.
Most of them are over 40.
And 40 is if you wrenched your whole life, and by the time you get to 40, you start to get creaky.
Well, it depends on how smart you wrench. Now a lot of it's diagnosis, so we need smart guys. I do have guys that are in their late 30s. I have nobody below 35, though. It's tech. All the way up to guys that are in their early 60s still cranking away. I mean, but they're all master techs, and, I mean, they do a great job. But they work a little smarter than harder, but, I mean.
So, folks, if your kids are taking everything apart at your house, you need to get them into a trade school.
And you know what? You can make a darn good living doing this job if you're good at it.
Six
no
digits.
Lie. Yeah, you can.
No problem.
No, you can, for sure, if you're good at it. So it's not a bad trade, just like the other trades. I mean, you know,
plumbing,
this is about
electrical.
My son's working on becoming an electrician.
Really?
So, yeah, he took the test and all that for the union and all that.
Cool.
He didn't. He was never in the automotive thing.
No,
so
no.
I told him, go find your thing that you love, man. And that's what he decided he wanted to do. Yeah. So that's what he's doing.
That's excellent.
Yeah, good for him, you know.
He's going to be able to take care of you when he gets old.
I hope so. We'll see for sure.
Right.
Hey, folks, I do want to remind you the show is also brought to you by, besides the West Automotive Group, Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. Interstate Batteries are the highest quality battery out there. If you need a battery for anything automotive related, stop into one of the West Automotive Group locations for sure, and we'll be happy to get you handled. If you need a battery for any other need, you can visit them at one of their storefronts, 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar, or in La Mesa at 70th and University. I did also want to tell folks, please go to the westautomotivegroup.com. From there, you can see what we're all about. You can go see any of the Automan segments right off the website if you've missed any of them on the CW News where I'm the Automan. And you can also go to all the podcasts for Auto Talk Radio if you missed it live. So you can get it from there. That's westautomotivegroup.com. And you can also make any appointments, et cetera, from there. So just check it out for sure. We're happy to help you out. You can also email me anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. That's autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. Or call directly to the Escondido store at 760-741-5323. All right, so we're going to finish up the show talking about 10 common car buying mistakes. We've gone over several of these in some of the places that we were. Buying the deal instead of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they back you into the monthly price. That can be the biggest mistake ever. When a card sales guy says to you, well, how much can you spend a month? You're going in the wrong direction, my friend.
Yeah.
Don't do it that way.
No,
that's never.
You will get what you don't want.
Well, and you end up paying too much for it, too.
Exactly.
So they're trying to do is figure out how much money you have in excess, and they're going to plug it into you. And then they'll put you into some car, and it may be a car that you could have got cheaper elsewise. Right. So don't back into a deal that way.
Never tell them you're going to pay cash.
Yeah, don't do that either.
Never.
No.
Don't let them do the work. You don't need to be offering information without them doing their homework.
Correct. And one of the other things is waiting until you're in the dealership to think about financing.
No.
Like we talked about earlier, sometimes leasing may be good. Know kind of what you want to do. Research what's available to you, what you think works for you, tax-wise, et cetera. If you can write a vehicle off, whatever. Only you know that.
Right.
So, and then sometimes you can get great financing deals like 0% or 0.5% from your credit union or whatever, because they're in with a manufacturer or whatever, and they want to help sell cars and do loans. So keep an eye out for that. And sometimes it's a great deal to go that direction. Underestimating the value of modern safety features, probably the most important things on vehicles today. We have a lot of things from lane departure, right?
Oh, gosh.
Anti-collision and all these great things going on. Make sure that your vehicle is supplied with things. I mean, almost every vehicle has airbags. We know that.
Right,
so,
but some have better safety features than others.
Some
and
do.
Contact your insurance company and say, I'm thinking about buying this car. How is it going to affect my payments? Oh, well, it's da-da-da. Well, how about if it has all these safety features? Does that lessen it? Well, yes, it does. It'll knock off.
You know why I'm smiling right now? This is funny. So my girlfriend says to me, my requirement is a sunroof and heated seats. I really don't care about anything else at this point. I was all, we're going to go a little further and deeper into this than sunroof and heated seats. It does not sound like somebody would say, though. So I need a sunroof and heated seats. That's all I care about.
I don't care about NAV. I don't care about Bluetooth. I don't care about safety. No.
The seats have got to be heated.
I sell her a Volkswagen, hole in the roof.
That's funny because she drives a Beetle.
There you go. So. Well, hey, you know how to pick
them. You know how I love Volkswagens.
Oh, I know. You're just an amp. Yeah, I wonder where she takes it to get her work done.
To me, but still. My point is that I was like, oh. And she's all, don't make fun of my car. And I was all, okay.
All right.
So you got to be nice, you know, sometimes. Sometimes. What is it your wife's driving these days, Dave?
A Prius V.
Really?
And because
how do you get those Rottweilers inside that thing?
It's the V, and she's so angry with Toyota because they quit building it. They're not going to build a V anymore. She can get one Roddy crate and two Dachshund crates. In fact, I've got...
Dave's wife breeds dogs and loves them to death. That's why I was wondering how all these dogs fit in there.
I got 10 puppies I have to go back home and feed as soon as I get done here.
Well, there you go.
You got
to have a job for everybody.
Happy wife.
Happy life. There you go.
What rhymes with husband, father, nothing. It's just do your job and make them happy.
Hey, Dave, we're going to have to wrap up the show, man. I appreciate you joining
me.
Look forward to having you back again soon. Great. If you guys have any other questions related to purchasing a vehicle or anything, you can email me anytime at autotalk@West Automotive Group. I'm there to help you out. Keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up, as Dave taught me to say years ago. Be safe out there, and thanks for tuning in to Auto Talk Radio. We'll catch you next Saturday.